clubs work with safety programs, children's hospitals, and pediatric trauma programs to prevent children's injuries and make sure kids get the best possible treatment when they do get hurt. To learn how to avoid burns and protect your child from other preventable injuries, visit our website at servingchildren.org. Kiwanis International, serving the children of the world.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB Stony Brook. It's 6 o'clock time once again for another edition of Off the Wall. And very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you, joined tonight by Kyle.
I am. I am indeed Kyle, and I am joining you.
Good.
Tonight.
I'm happy you're here.
I'm happy you're here.
I'm happy everybody is here.
Yeah. interesting show we have. Hard to really focus on anything.
Yeah.
I'm sure everyone out there knows what we're getting at when we say this. And it's kind of hard. It's not really, I don't feel our place to sum it up, right, E?
You know, well,
what do you say?
No, I mean,
we've said a lot already.
This is not the kind of, I don't enjoy this at all. I don't think anybody enjoys this kind of a thing. And it's tough to try and get your thoughts together after the kind of horror that we've seen in the past couple of days in this country. I would so like to be wrong about the things we talk about, you know, about gun safety, gun zealotry, and the overall state of our society. I would love that because we wouldn't have to do shows like this, and I could be mocked and ridiculed for being, you know, full of doom and false warnings. But damn it, when something like this happens and all of your worst fears are confirmed, it does not feel good at all. I would give anything for a different kind of outcome. For those of you listening in the future, maybe, who don't know what we're talking about, this is...
Or forgot.
Or not paying attention, or just awakening from a coma.
Or willfully don't care.
So 2 days ago, we had the biggest mass shooting in modern U.S. history. Or the reason people say that, or at least I think the reason people say in modern U.S. history, well, number one, it saves them from having to do research into ancient U.S. history, however far back that goes. But there actually were bigger massacres of African Americans in the 1800s.
Yeah, I guess that's pre-colonial or colonial times.
Yeah, it's we have outdone ourselves in various ways, and I certainly don't want to gloss over that. But in our memory, there has been nothing like this. So that's pretty much where that phrase comes from. So we basically are still reeling in the aftermath of what happened in Las Vegas, where one, you know, people call him a lunatic, a psychopath. This was a normal guy. This was a guy that you would pass in the street a couple of days ago and not think anything. This was a guy that if any of us were to say, this person should not have guns, this person should not have this many guns, this person is a ticking time bomb, we could have said that. Warned everybody, and nobody would have believed us because there was nothing to back us up. And everybody, well, not everybody, obviously, but the people who believe in this stuff, or who believed up until this point in this stuff, would have said he has every right to have all these armaments. He doesn't have to explain why he should have 40 guns. He has every right to do that, and he would have been defended. He would have won because there was nothing to indicate anything to the contrary. You see, this is... Occasionally I say things. People are asking, what the hell are you talking about? How could you say something like that? But sometimes I say things to make a point. And in this particular case, what I'm saying to make a point is that I wish this were terrorism. Real, traditional terror. I mean, it is terrorism. There's no question about that, because terror is terror in my eyes. And it doesn't have to have the political meaning behind it, or you can find a political meaning behind anything, but that's not the point. The point is that I prefer it would be terrorism, if because you can stop that, you can infiltrate that, you can trap terror, so-called terrorists, and get them to thwart their own plans. How do you stop this? How in the world do you stop this? You know, an average, normal, everyday guy who has a secret in the back of his mind. He's not talking to ISIS. He's not talking to any fundamentalist group or any radicalized gang of people. He's just thinking in his own mind, and he has the full support of the U.S. government and of all kinds of other powerful entities that say, yes, you can stockpile as many weapons as you like, because somehow that's your right. You can't stop it. You cannot stop that. Terrorist, you can stop. You can't stop this. Not using the current rules. Not in our present day.
Yeah, he's kind of exploiting the systems, and it is a statement in and of itself. Look what I can do. It's a perverse, sick show and tell, and like you said, it's a something that would be. He's not getting in arguments with people about gun rights or anything. Not being open and quote and sort of leading on to this kind of plot. And whatever it was that set him off, it's hard to detect. I mean, what it really points to is this systemic availability of weaponry and pervasive attitudes, sort of permissiveness around weaponry, with very little question to the people who actually operate and handle weapons. That's really an afterthought. It's always a technical discussion or about some misty yearning for like sort of nostalgia for rights and so on, which is, you know, valid fundamentally, but it really gets way more attention than the nuts and bolts of these things.
Yeah, no, and here's a good example of that. Yesterday, Hillary Clinton had something to say about this, as many of us did. She said the crowd fled at the sound of gunshots. Imagine the deaths if the shooter had a silencer, which the NRA wants to make easier to get. Our grief isn't enough. We can and must put politics aside, stand up to the NRA, and work together to try to stop this from happening again. Now, her saying that set off Fox News. They don't care about the actual incident. They care that she's still speaking. And anything she says is tantamount to the biggest threat facing us ever. So the headline that you might have seen yesterday, Hillary Clinton slammed for ignorant statement on guns after Las Vegas shooting. Really? Ignorant statement on guns? Someone show me where the ignorance is in that. No, everything she said was true.
And if anything, she's showing integrity, because during the election, everyone, I think, would be very remiss to remember or not forget that that was the enemy number one she indicated she would go up against. So if anything, she's showing integrity and honoring her word during the campaign at the least. But she should not be squelched for expressing herself, even, you know, as a citizen and someone who's responding to this as everyone else. See, in the community and the country as a whole.
I've seen this kind of thing happen too, when you maybe get a terminology wrong and you refer to a semi-automatic weapon or in the wrong way or something. That's not really the point. We're not supposed to be gun experts. We're supposed to basically be trying to make our society as safe and as prosperous and healthy as possible. So forgive us if we don't all understand the intricacies of one weapon over another. Now, they're taking exception to the fact that she said that silencers would make such a shooting even harder to detect because going out on a limb here, the silencers would make it more quiet so that you wouldn't hear. But now what Fox News says is conservative critics quickly hit back, saying silencers probably would only moderately dampen the sound of gunfire in this kind of attack, especially from what was described as a high-powered weapon. Really? That's your point?
Yeah, it doesn't
That's
matter.
That's it? That's all you've got? That's basically it would only moderately dampen it. And that justifies Hillary Clinton's slam for ignorant statement on guns. How about you stand behind the people you disagree with on other issues and say, yeah, this is messed up. We have to work together. No, they're doing the same exact thing. It doesn't matter. They're attacking these people that they hate, even when they're saying things that are completely filled with truth. And we're never going to get anywhere. Maybe this is what they want, but we'll never get anywhere if we continue to do this. And I'll give you an example from the other side as well. All right. I was reading a bunch of Twitter comments, and And one person who happened to be ex-military came back from a tour in Iraq or Afghanistan or maybe both, and said, you know, I didn't walk around, you know, these countries with an automatic weapon just to have to protect myself from one back at home. And he was jumped on for saying, oh, you know, so basically it's people saying to him, so it's okay to walk around in a foreign country with an automatic weapon, but not here. People, yeah, I see the point. I understand American foreign policy. I'm one of their most vocal critics. But this guy is agreeing with us right now. Let's not make him somebody who's alienated because he is a soldier, somebody who walked around and did something that we disagree with overseas. Yes, it's messed up that happened. But right now, he sees what is wrong here, and we need to work together. All right? So we're guilty on both sides. We absolutely are.
Yeah, one thing I was going to add to what you were getting at is that the irony is really lost on NRA supporters or whomever might you know, not be open to that discussion or want to raise technical points. They want, people who are concerned about the availability of guns and the craziness in this country around it, they want to get in the weeds over technical things, you know, and split hairs over you know, the other side, quote, not understanding, you know, the technicalities or the functionality of weapons and what it means to truly have that right to bear arms. The fact is that was used in many regards around the pre-post-ban semi-automatic weapons era legislation and so on and so forth, with where we basically learned, okay, these, you know, particular guns, bottoms and tops and, you know, separate pieces and muzzles and different parts of the gun in pieces could be legally obtained, but together as a whole, you know, all these little things where essentially in order to argue for safety and advocate to have public safety and your right to be alive as a citizen without, in, you know, everyone being armed around you. Instead of that, you have to be a gun expert and be able to take it apart and assemble it to be able to jump through the hurdle, the intellectual hurdles that technical, you know, gun builders or aficionados might, you know, want to get engage with you over. It's literally the irony being lost in the example that you provide. And, you know, as I said, it was gone through then and over the pre-ban stuff. And what we realize in this case in particular is that even guns that are semi-automatic, they still, you know, if they're in a state that is legal, technically, they can be still modified, even in light of all of that, you know, decades of laws and Brady bills and everything.
That's the thing. And I've been asking people about this because, you know, when we saw the video and we heard the audio, and it was like a military occupation. You heard the automatic. It was automatic. It was a machine gun. You heard a machine gun firing onto 20,000 people in a crowd from the upper floors of a hotel. There is no defense against that. Now, you know, you hear that and you say, oh, my God, how in the world could somebody, this has to be a really well-organized terrorist attack, has to be a military uprising, has to be something, you know, of a level we have not seen before. And no, it's not. It's basically somebody who got their hands on something legally and made an easy modification to it. So what you know, we keep saying we have to make sure this won't happen again. Well, you can't make sure it won't happen again. It could happen tonight. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen every single day, because how do you possibly stop somebody from doing this if it's legal? You know, it's legal to buy a semi-automatic weapon, and it's a very simple thing to make a modification to turn it into an automatic weapon. And again, gun enthusiasts, forgive me if I'm misstating a particular chain in that event, but that's basically the truth. That's basically what happened on Sunday, and that's basically what could happen again. So as long as you have that possibility, you can say till you're blue in the face, we have to do everything we can to stop this from happening. But until you figure out a way to get these things out of the hands of people, you're not accomplishing anything. All you're basically relying upon are the good feelings of people around you and the trust that this won't happen again. But that's it. You can't stop people from doing this unless you change something fundamental about the things that are permitted and are not permitted. And for the life of me, how is this permitted? Who needs something that can do this? We're not talking about hunting. We're not talking about self-defense, all right? These are basic issues. I don't happen to agree with the premise, but I can accept the premise that some people like to keep guns in their home for quote-unquote self-defense or whatnot. Some people like to hunt. You know, fine. There should be some safety standards. But, we're going a few steps beyond that now. We're going into becoming your own neighborhood military here and saying that you have the right to do that. And I ask, why? Why do you think you have the right to have your own personal one-man army? Where is that in the Constitution? That's not what they meant. And if it is what they meant, if that's what the Founding Fathers meant, then they're wrong. And I'm not afraid to say the Founding Fathers could be wrong. They're not gods. They're human beings. But I think they were smart people. I don't think they would have approved of this. But one thing is for sure, they couldn't have seen this coming. They couldn't have envisioned this kind of a world. You know, so to keep going back to the 1700s for guidance, you're not really going to get the answers that make a whole lot of sense. So what does make sense right now is that having this kind of power in the hands of individuals who seem normal as hell until the moment they're not, that is insane. That has to change. If it doesn't change, basically we're voting for more of this. Sounds horrible, but we are. We made this possible by not doing anything after Sandy Hook, after Columbine, after all the many, many, many mass shootings that have happened. We could have done something. Other countries have. Other countries are every bit as free and open as we are, and they don't have this kind of thing. Yeah, they might have an occasional shooting, but they don't have a guarantee that there will be one every couple of weeks and that it won't ever stop. They don't have that because they deal with the situation when it happens. Hey, we had one guy try to light his damn shoe on fire on an airplane, and because of that imbecile, we now all have to take our shoes off every time we get on a plane. You know, they change things for that. They change things every time something happens involving foreigners or Muslims or, you know, the specter of terrorism. Yeah, that's not a problem to change the whole way we live. But when, you know, a good old boy from someplace, you know, a white guy goes around shooting everybody, you can't change who we are. That's the price of freedom. Who said that? Pat Robertson said that? The price of freedom. Yeah.
Yeah.
Idiots like that. We should not even listen to. We need to move forward and stop this madness.
Yeah, I think that like my first reaction was, oh great, this tragedy is action of yet another example of our well organized militia system in the U.S. That's what they do. You know, that's where that logic gets you, is that, you know, we stretch and push the limits. And really, I think the distinction, without getting technical, you know, with all the gun experts, you're talking about the difference between a hunting rifle and an assault rifle. And you have to, just thinking of the terminology, like from a very distant, sort of removed perspective. Mm-hmm. You gotta think, wow, we're kind of bending the rules with, you know, we're bending what this amendment was about, given that we're allowing assault weapons, literally stuff that is designed for killing other humans, and not hunting and sports purposes. And that's not even talking technically. Like, when you are getting into the weeds over legislation, over whether, and we've done this decades ago, all through the 90s, whatever, assault weapons bans, you know, you're already stretching the limits of what that was ever intended to mean, and yet we're getting stuck in the mud over the nuances of what X, Y, or Z a gun owner prefers, you know, in his rifle. You know, it's like debating what people like on their sandwich, you know, but, you know, you can't necessarily have everybody, you know, order the same thing for everybody. And, you know, somebody's going to be upset that they can't get exactly what they want, but they're still able to eat. You know, I mean, that it's just it's you got to not entertain the sort of detail that is already pushing the bounds of what logically any human would agree is acceptable in a safe, a free society where you have the expectation of not getting shot.
The dialogue has to change. And if it doesn't change, we are doomed. We might as well blow it all up now if we don't change the dialogue at this point. Because, you know, this is 59 people killed. One guy, 59 people killed, over 500 injured. One guy. Imagine if it was two guys. Imagine if it was a team. You know, ISIS is sitting back taking notes. Hey, they even claim credit for this. It's amazing. Because it's a white guy, ISIS claims credit, and we say, nah, it wasn't you. You don't get this. Orlando, okay, you can have that. That guy, he was a Muslim, but we're not going to let you have this one. It's ridiculous. But, I'm even overlooking that right now. The fact is, you know, when you have this kind of destructive power that we willingly put into the hands of people, we don't need terrorists. We don't need to be in fear because we can create the fear ourselves. So unless we change that dialogue, it is all going to fall apart. And I honestly don't get the resistance to this. I don't understand it because, you know, it's not people coming for your guns. You can still have your damn guns if that's what you feel like. You just can't have a military fortress in your house because there is absolutely no reason for that to happen. I mean, there is no herd of deer charging at you that you need semi-automatic or automatic weaponry to take out. You don't need it. You should not have it. This needs to stop. And, you know, I don't know if we can find some kind of technological solution to this. Elon Musk, if you're listening, maybe let's put off the space travel for a little bit and figure out a way to just negate all the guns or make them all just stop working or change gravity somehow. I don't know. There's got to be something we can do technologically because, you know, let's say the dialogue did change tomorrow. Let's say all of a sudden, and this is actually, I have hope that Trump might actually be I hesitate to use the word individualistic enough.
Well equipped to mess this up for.
No, it's exactly the opposite. Individualistic enough to do something that bucks the trend, that basically says, you know what? I know what people are saying, but this is what I think. Maybe he will say, because he seemed to be actually moved by what happened. You know, yesterday I just realized I didn't say any anti-Trump things yesterday because he didn't say anything stupid. What he said was exactly right. He said this is pure evil. It is pure evil. Absolutely. He didn't say anything about it's not the gun's fault. He didn't say anything stupid that made me, you know, want to react. He did what he should have done. And maybe he will do something else. Maybe he will say it's time for a change. Because he said that everything I disagree with, he said that. Maybe he'll say that for something I do agree with. Maybe this is an opportunity to change that dialogue. I don't know. I do know the dialogue has to be changed. I do know we need to be going in a different direction or we are doomed. There's just no other way.
Yeah, that's what I meant is it screws it up for the NRA. That he might be compelled and moved enough by this and want to be on the right side of this. And just it's so glaring where most people stand in a pragmatic sense. That he could side with people that, you know, like Democrats, you know, bipartisanship in the spirit of what he's been trying or at least looking like he's doing with various members of leadership, Senate and otherwise. So it's a possibility. And I mean, I don't think he could hurt his leadership or his administration any more than he already has. Well, one other thing is I've been watching about Vietnam. And when I heard the video of this incident,
you talk about the documentary series.
Yeah, the PBS series. I won't get into that, but I'm just now at a part where people were disillusioned enough to actually start threatening members of their own side, like commanding officers, and the term fragging, and you know, real disillusionment with the war towards the end of it, and. And, you know, that was a policy run amok. And I think this gun industry is amok and they need some redirecting. And it was really gut-wrenching when I heard the video from this Vegas tragedy, because it is basically the same kind of weaponry and stuff that I was hearing in this war documentary.
It's not amok enough. I mean, what you say about Vietnam rings true, because yeah, that was pretty much falling apart in the upper levels. NRA is not falling apart in the upper levels. They're doubling down in the upper level. It's all of us at the bottom who are the victims of this, and we need to make sure they get dismantled from the top and totally. And they need to be categorized for what they are, the equivalent of a domestic terrorist group. And I say that because what they do is they foment death and destruction and a very unhealthy state of mind under the guise of the Second Amendment, which they've completely distorted and used for their own purposes, which is basically a conservative agenda and profiting off the sale of weaponry. And it's disgusting.
Contributing to authoritarianism. I mean, all the tools and tactics fall right in line with that mentality.
Uh-huh. It's got nothing to do with defending yourself against a tyrannical government, because we have a tyrannical government, and they
haven't
showed
up.
They're not marching in the streets for Black Lives Matter. No, they're sitting at home on their fat white asses, basically collecting guns and not saying anything when something like this happens. They need to be stopped. They need to be turned into something else. And I think people are starting to see this. Look at this this comment. By the way, we should take phone calls. 631-632-WUSB. 631-632-WUSB is our phone number. We'd like to take listener phone calls, because I know people have a lot to say about that. But what I wanted to read was a comment by one of the musicians that was at the concert. Unfortunately, this timed out on the screen. Hold on. One of the musicians, Caleb Keeter, the Josh Abbott Band, they were playing on Sunday night, said on Twitter Monday that he had been a proponent of the Second Amendment his entire life. And he said, until the events of last night, I cannot express how wrong I was. He's a guitarist. He said members of the band legally had firearms on the bus, but refrained from using them for fear the police would mistakenly think they were part of the attack. We need gun control right now, he wrote in all caps. My biggest regret is that I stubbornly didn't realize it until my brothers on the road and myself were threatened by it. And basically, a lot of people are seeing from a different perspective now, realizing that, yeah, it's not the way we've been told. It's not the way we've portrayed it ourselves. This is nothing but a hobby of collecting, cool devices that can be very deadly in the wrong hands. And it's very easy to get them in the wrong hands. Again, you know, I challenge anybody out there. Call us. Tell us what you need a semi-automatic weapon for, why you should have it, where you think you're guaranteed to have that kind of death tool. I'm not going to be very patient. I got to tell you that right now. I've seen this happen too many times, and it's utter nonsense. The arguments that people present to say that, yeah, this is what the founding fathers had in mind. It absolutely is not. It's got nothing to do with anything this country stands for, and it's basically tearing us apart.
I did a survey. I looked at every gun manufacturer's homepage during the aftermath of the Pulse nightclub shooting. I think I'm going to do that again, because I only found one manufacturer that actually did anything on their website to acknowledge that incident. I'm curious what those same manufacturers, and I have a list of all of them somewhere. I'm curious if any one of them has done anything this time. You know, what does it take for that industry to give a damn?
What's one of the manufacturers? I don't know anything about
it.
I don't know.
You can Wikipedia list gun manufacturers. It's, you know,
Smith & Wesson.
They're one of them. They don't do anything. I think Browning, I think they were the one that did anything on their website.
Yeah, Smith & Wesson homepage. Going there now. The M&P M2.0 compact pistol.
Not a damn thing, right?
Gun finder.
Yep.
It's not a way to find guns. It's a way for you to find the gun that's right for you.
So if you go through the entire list, you'll probably find one. You know, at most you'll see a website that's got NRA regalia.
Look at all
and
these
how
guns. Oh, my God. There's so many guns here.
Or you'll get some kind of weird patriotic ribbon, you know, imagery and click here to support God knows what.
Browse firearms. Right. Have you ever browsed firearms?
So,
oh my God.
I'm curious if I haven't done it. If somebody else does it, I'd love to see what the result was. Because during Pulse Nightclub, that was 2 years or a year and a half ago, not one manufacturer said anything on their homepage except for one. And I'm sure it's the same thing now. My point is that the NRA, it could be a noble organization. You don't want the police maintaining your militia. The NRA could have a part in that.
Maybe, wouldn't that be something?
Maybe, you know, the VFW and the NRA and the dang Rotary Elks or something.
Hold on,
the Masonic Order of Militia Organizers.
Let's think about this.
They could do stuff.
They're
in the pocket of the industry.
Let's create an alternative universe where the NRA is actually a responsible organization that deals with issues of weaponry and basically holds training classes, because you don't want people to have firearms without any training. Notice, I think that almost half the states allow you to get guns without any training whatsoever.
I believe that. I'm sure.
How insane is that? How crazy is that?
Yep.
But okay, back to the alternative universe, because I'm much happier there. Sure. The NRA is basically the organization that guides you through this, tells you how to use a weapon, how not to use a weapon, what's responsible, what is not, what's too much, when you might have a problem because you get fixated on guns constantly. I'd even join them, I think.
No, think about it. They could get, like, people who support, you know, other organizations they would never be, you know, associated with now, if they did what they're, I think, if they believe their purpose is, if they did what they are sort of supposed to do, if they did it right, I think they would find that they could rebrand and become actually something that people support. But they're not. They're not being a liaison for actual gun safety. They do token gun courses, and I'm sure they've got statistics and numbers, and they would talk me down. But point is, they're in the pocket of the industry, and their interest is basically the interest of the industry, which is to sell firearms. They could not care one iota less. Is that right?
Yeah, no, that's right.
For the actual problems. But imagine if they were the good guys. If they were working with Congress to make our society more safe, but also to respect. You know, they could actually be a liaison, but they're so biased in one direction that the most militant and organized they are is in their little affiliation circles and newsletters online whenever they get the feeling of being attacked by people that actually want common sense reform. They're not doing that, and they look crazy in the process, and that makes me say they're doing a bad job at what they're supposed to be doing.
You say that they're in the business of selling guns, selling arms. You know, I understand, you know, with a consumable item like, you know, soda or something like that. You sell it, you want to keep selling it because people keep consuming it. But when you buy guns, I mean, you already bought the gun. You already have the gun. Why do you need to buy the gun again? It just seems like they've probably sold a whole lot of weaponry that they don't have to sell again. And somehow they're encouraging people to buy more and more and more. And look what they're turning us into. You know, if I came from a gun type family, which fortunately I don't, but if I did, I imagine that we'd have the family gun that we would have bought maybe 30 years ago. And that was the gun. That was the gun that got passed down. And we wouldn't need to buy another gun. Well, maybe Junior would want his gun. I don't know. But, you know, one gun per person. I mean, why would you want more than that? But then everybody turns into gun collectors. Everybody wants to top each other. And it turns into this weird arms race on an individualistic level. And that is what they are pushing. And it's not sustainable.
Yeah. It used to be that people would pass these things down as though it's an heirloom. There were guns in my family. It still are, actually. Guns that were, you know, several generations old. Maybe they had, you know, X number of grizzly bears that had been, you know, one for the family to survive a winter, et cetera, et cetera. That's not the case, though. And it's similar to the kind of cell phone thing where most people are now, they have like 1.5 kids, 2.3 cell phones. You know, it's like you have to have a bunch of something. And so that's the mentality, is to accrue more and more of a particular weapon. so that you end up being sort of a collector, a pseudo collector, and you've got gizmos. And to me, it smacks. It's very much like, you know, equipment aficionados. I get this in photography. I'm a photographer. So people that kind of just turn into the gearhead and they're not actually in it to do the thing that they're doing. And so they go on and on. They sell and resell their bikes, or if they're into cameras or whatever gadget, fill in the blank. Maybe it's guitars or something. All they do is really collect and sell and trade. You know, but Kyle, they're not actually a musician, or they're not actually a photographer.
I guarantee you, if musicians or photographers or cyclists, if their hobby killed people, because when they went out of control, imagine you're speeding down a hill and you take out a family just by riding past them, or you know, you take someone's picture and you snuff out their life.
Right.
I bet there would be changes in the way those things are distributed and sold and regulated. You know, we do it for everything else. People say, you know, they don't regulate cars. They do regulate cars. They regulate cars big time. I don't know why people say that. We have to get driver's licenses. You have to register a car. To get it inspected. You have to get insurance. It's, you know, you can't give a car to a 3-year-old. You know, it's, but guns, anything goes. And how did we get here? You know, we weren't always here. This is not something that has been around for hundreds of years. This is us basically letting one thing follow another thing, follow another thing. Well, you know what? We've tried it this way. It clearly doesn't work. So now we need to change things. If we don't change things, this will not be the worst mass shooting in American history, not for long. Somebody else will do something in addition, and something unthought of will happen. And it'll just keep getting worse until we no longer have a country that we can feel comfortable in. It'll be mayhem and chaos and just living hell.
I think part of this is, and this is sort of my own personal belief, but I think there's a lot to back this up academically. I won't get into it too much, but I think a lot of this can be attributed to patriarchy and our conceptions of masculinity in culture. And I think Michael Moore talks about this in Bowling for Columbine. There's also been a lot of other work done by, like, particularly Jackson Katz and the Media Foundation, basically in regards to masculinity and toughness and our attitudes. And so in patriarchy, we look to men as the leaders, and they, you know, that's where we, you know, we have inequity and so on. But what that does insofar as our media is we end up creating media that that appeals to that patriarchy, and then if we then define our patriarchy or to be masculine as having to be tough or violent and so on, which perhaps over evolution is definitely a part of who we are, but if that is praised over and over and repeated in media and in culture, a la Rambo, a la, you know, any genre of movie, and this has been talked about in Bowling for Columbine, like how violent some of our media is and how much we won't show a naked body or anything remotely controversial in that sense, but we will show the most gory, horrific, disgusting, gratuitous deaths and inhumane acts on broadcast TV,
right.
and nobody bats an eyelash, and we don't question it. And I think that when you start seeing people acting out who are masking themselves as healthy, you're really looking at an underlying sickness of how we're raising our young boys and men. This goes to stuff you've pointed out as well. We don't often see women doing these kinds of massacres, et cetera, et cetera. And anyway, I won't go into it too much, but I think masculinity and the concepts of that in mainstream have a lot to do with it.
You mentioned Bowling for Columbine, and it's interesting because that film is not an anti-gun film. A lot of people who are gun enthusiasts assume it is and have never even seen it. You should watch the film because basically he points to the problem, and it's not. I mean, it's certainly the arms race to make more and more sophisticated guns and ones that can kill more people. But it's more the mentality, like Kyle is saying. And that is what we have to face. So he compared Canada to the United States and how they have guns in Canada, maybe not quite like this, but they don't go around killing people like we do here. It's very, very different.
And they don't have the same Hollywood studio system. They have a much smaller media system that has more sort of original storytelling and less violent storytelling. With a huge studio system, you end up having canned things that go direct to video that fit a format.
Right.
And you have, you know, a huge competitive environment just within one genre of crazy violence.
The thing is, you know, we're oftentimes horrified at the thought of reining in Hollywood, of reining in video games and things like that. Because, you know, that's censorship. That's basically saying you're not allowed to show this on TV or in the movies. Without doing that, you can take a good hard look at what is popular and what is being said and portrayed, and ask yourself why is that the thing that is getting the highest ratings. This says something. And, you know, when you're an artist, when you're a producer, when you're a director, you can make something. You have the ability. You have the ability to reach people and to get them to think about why something like this happens. We've seen this happen many, many times with all kinds of social issues where stories are told and they get people thinking in a completely different way. Our country has changed dramatically in a good way over the past decade or so. And a lot of that has to do with things that have been portrayed on television or in the movies in a positive way, things we were afraid of, like gay marriage and the transgender communities and all kinds of other things. You know, go back a little further racial equality is something that was dealt with in the theaters before it was dealt with in the streets by many of us. Things like that, you know, you have the power to change the dialogue. So if you're just telling the same story over and over again, yeah, you know, you're allowed to do that, but you shouldn't feel proud about that. And we, the people, should remind you of that at every opportunity, that this is not what we want to see. Unfortunately, it is what many people want to see, but it's something that we do have the power to change the direction. I just want to give the phone number out because last week we had a full switchboard, and this week we have a dead switchboard, and I wonder, are people really afraid to talk about this? Don't be afraid to talk about this. I know you're interested in talking about this. The whole country, the whole world is talking about this. Please call us. We want to hear what you have to say. Don't expect us to just lie down, though. 631-632-WUSB. This is something we feel strongly about.
Just to speak to what you said about censorship, it's not about, like you said, it's not about squelching or shutting down particular types of content, mm-hmm. even if it's a lot of the same thing. But it's really about giving opportunities and presenting other forms of storytelling and other examples of masculinity, or that perhaps patriarchy isn't everything, etc. I mean, these stories and this perspective needs as much of a platform. It needs to be equal, not as biased to just NRA and Rambo.
All right, we have a phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
Okay, this is Joe from Mastic.
Joe from Mastic, how you doing?
Pretty good. I agree with just about everything you've said tonight. The one aspect that I'm not sure you covered, I was in and out of the room a little bit, was the healthcare slant on this. You know, Mr. Trump said this was pure evil, which is possible, but it's also possible that it's brain dysfunction. And while I agree, we definitely need far less guns on the streets than we have, if we lived in a society where mental health care was more open and available and wouldn't bankrupt people, then maybe we'd have a little less violence on the streets like this as well.
Well, in this particular case, I'm hearing more about this person as the days go on. It turns out he's a multimillionaire. He certainly was capable of affording medical care. So you can't check somebody every single day. So I know this is an argument that we hear a lot, that, just keep guns out of the hands of the mentally ill. Let's have a database of mentally ill people. It's not that simple. You can accuse somebody of being mentally ill, but it's very hard to prove. And it's something they have to agree to be a part of in the first place. So I think even if somebody suspected this, there was something not quite right with this guy, which nobody did, then, we still would have had a challenge to actually get all these guns out of his hand.
Well, you're never going to stop this completely. It's not.
No, not like this. We certainly aren't.
Gun control, which is a lot more gun control than what we have. I don't see any reason that people have these kind of weapons. I wouldn't have a weapon in my house under any circumstances. But I think if you do that and you pair it with the mental health aspect, I mean, these other people who go into movie theaters or this and that, you might be able to help some of them, you know. And the other point I don't have the facts in front of me because I was driving home from, but maybe your memory's better than mine. I hope it is. Remember some of the European terrorist things they had recently? People came in with knives into stores and was stabbing people or stabbing people in the street. I mean, I know I'm making an assumption here. But I think it's a fairly logical one. I mean, that's probably because it's a little hard to get guns.
Yeah.
And that person who stabbed X amount could have killed a lot more people if he had a gun.
No, absolutely.
All this nonsense you hear about, oh, we need our guns for safety. They don't have their safe. They don't have nearly the amount of guns in these other developed countries.
Even a SWAT team wasn't enough to stop this guy. And imagine if some of these terrorist attacks had access to the kinds of weaponry that normal American citizens have access to. Imagine the kind of damage that could be done in Paris and Amsterdam and Brussels and London. And the reason you don't see that is because it's harder to get that. That's why people are driving cars into crowds, because it's easier to get a car. But wow, the kind of carnage you would see with this kind of mentality overseas, it's just everything would be a war zone.
But there's a certain percentage of Americans, unfortunately, that think it's unpatriotic to say we could learn something from any other country, that we have to have it so together that we can't learn about public transportation, we can't learn about health care, we can't learn about gun control. Because if you admit that you're learning something, it means you're not already the best.
Well, you know, I think we look at the country music guy that we just quoted before. That's an example of somebody with integrity who said, you know what, I was wrong. I've thought this through, and I'm considering it from a completely different perspective now. And I think we all need to be open to doing that on an individual level.
That's right. One thing that just drives me to distraction with politicians is when they get criticized for flip-flopping. Oh, he flip-flopped his position. Well, maybe he learned something. He should be applauded sometimes for changing your position on something if you have a reasonable explanation why you did it.
Yeah, I think E spoke to that at the beginning of the show. We were talking about how, you know, it's not a bad thing when you evolve. That's a healthy part of intellect, being, you know, intellectual growth and a good sign, especially in leadership. You know, you want your leaders to be thinking people.
Yeah, flip-flopping is actually thinking. It's actually considering as an individual, as a human being.
Just to speak to what you were talking about as far as healthcare, I mean, that's a tall order. I would love to go right to that. I love root causes of things, and I want to go even further. I will go to environmental health as a cause. This isn't the environment show. This isn't natural alternatives or whatever. But I will say, you know, I grew up in the Pacific Northwest, very close to Hanford, one of the most radioactive parts of the country. I grew up in an area that was contaminated. Superfund sites were very near where I grew up. The arsenic smelter, PCBs, bioaccumulation, air quality. There's so much that is out there to make you sick. And that people grow up with and accept and have to live with the effect of that. I think there's all kinds of mental health, natural and otherwise, as well as our overall health. But you kind of have to start, to my perspective, with the obvious and then work your way towards the non-obvious. And the immediate obvious thing, I think, is that we've got way too much accessibility and a population that has way more variation in health and stability and sense of, I guess, good. that variation is a bit too much for the availability. Let's start with what is, you know, the acute thing and work our way towards, you know, the immediate. Let's stop the bleeding and work our way towards actually getting healthy.
Well, I certainly agree we need to get these guns out of everybody's hands. It's just irrational.
Yeah. All right, listen, thanks for your call.
Okay, thanks for having me. Take care.
Take care. It's a difficult conversation, but one we need to have. And, you know, if we can't admit something is seriously wrong with the way things are now, I don't think we can have the conversation. I don't think we can reach each other.
What will it take?
It could get much worse than this, but how much worse do you want it to get before you realize that?
Because this seems pretty bad.
Yeah. It seemed pretty bad when a bunch of kindergarten kids got mowed down. That seemed pretty bad. Apparently, that wasn't bad enough for the government or for the NRA. Maybe this is.
And the gays, forget about them. But this is real. Vegas people, whew, that's below the belt.
Well, you know,
I'm being sarcastic.
But. Yeah, I don't know if that's the time for sarcasm. It's basically, you know, we look at tonight, Yankee Stadium. All right, NYPD is using counter sniper teams. This is the reaction that they had. That's a necessary reaction. They have to think maybe somebody can do something inside a stadium. I don't know how you'd get that kind of weaponry inside a stadium, or maybe somebody outside the stadium will be able to reach the stadium with some high-powered weaponry. This is how we have to think now. Aren't there better things we can be doing with our time, with our resources, than worrying about how somebody with a high-powered weapon could attack a crowd of people? You know, if you think, this is a waste of our time, then let's move the dialogue forward. You know, let's get rid of these high-powered weapons that we don't need for day-to-day life. If a revolution is about to break out and we're taking down the White House or something like that, all right, you know, we can table the conversation about the high-powered weaponry. But I don't see that happening in the near future. And you know what? We can always get them again if we need them in the short term. But right now, we don't need this. You know, if you want your handguns or whatever, your rifles for hunting and for protecting yourself, quote unquote, all right, great. Have at it. But this is destroying our country, and we need to start that conversation. We need to solve this, or it's all going to fall apart. I wanted to talk about Catalonia, but we don't have time. We don't have time. Maybe in another week, Catalonia will be an independent nation. I think they won the right to that on Sunday with Spain's heavy-handed reaction to their election. And if you ever thought an election was a waste of time, that should show you that it's not. Even if somebody disagrees with the right to have an election, when they move in the heavy troops to prevent it, you know that it means something. We'll talk about that in weeks ahead. You can write to us, otw@2600.com. And, you know, I didn't need for this to happen on top of everything else, but we lost Tom Petty yesterday, and he was always a constant. He was always somebody who was there, you know, there with his sound, there with his concert performances and his integrity, and we're all the poorer for not having him around. So we're going to go out with a song from one of his 21st century albums, and we'll be back again next week.
Keep listening.
Please, and keep talking. Keep engaging in dialogue. We'll see you next time. Good night.
Don't you just love reading a good book? I do. But for people with physical or visual impairments, reading a book can be a real challenge. Hello, I'm Rita Moreno, and I'd like to tell you about Talking Books. Talking Books are recordings of books and magazines available to people who have difficulty seeing regular print or holding a book.